Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Ivan Rabb, Austin Day, Joey Devine, Cherokee Parks, Jake Sokolidis, Sean Keane, Quanzo Martin, Blue Edwards, Patreons, WTTYWT, Brian Phillips, thank you, Brian, Chris Crittenden, thank you, Chris, special guest, Keith Parrish, musical guest, Ornette Coleman. And now, the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with the second episode this week. I should explain why there's two episodes this week. It's because I am bad at producing and literally just forgot to hit publish on Thursday night and did not catch it till Tuesday. I'm here, as always, with our good friend, America's Uncle Dad, America's Uncle Fiance, headlining It's Your Move Games in Berkeley shortly, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Speaking of America's Uncle Dad, I now have a niece as well as two nephews, living up to the name. Thank you to my sisters for just getting in there and...
Nope, hate it. Hate this joke. we're also here with our good friend, America's dad. America's Grizzly Stats dad. He loves stats. He loves his children. From the Fast Break Breakfast podcast, from at Fast Break Breakfast on X.com, from the Memphis Grits and Grinds Grizzlies podcast and YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. See those shorts. We have Keith Parrish. Keith, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm good. I like America's dad. That's what I am. Yeah. I am very into dadding. If that like old version of the movie Midway comes on, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is great. I want to watch this more. It's so good.
So Keith, well, we had you on a couple of weeks ago and you talked about how the Grizzlies were going to be okay. Do you still feel that way?
They are not okay. There's nothing okay about them. They're terrible. They've lost what they're like. They're 1-5 against the Wizards, Jazz, and Trailblazers. Like, they're terrible. They've gotten humiliated multiple times. They are not okay at all.
They've been starting Jacob Gilliard.
He's our best player. He's so much better than all the regular guys on, like, guaranteed contracts. Like, Desmond Bane, it's like, it's actually a little bit like the Warriors, where Steph Curry's been amazing, and you're still like 500 or something. Desmond Bane's been amazing, and we're the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, the Warriors, I think their second best player right now is Brandon Podziemski.
I think that's probably right, yeah.
The Grizzlies traded 2 first-round picks and Tyus Jones for Marcus Smart, and in game 8, they were like, Jacob Gilliard's better. Our team doesn't work when Marcus Smart commits 6 assists and 5 turnovers per game. Like, that's not. I liked it when Tyus was committing 6 assists and 0 turnovers a game. We're having trouble making up for those extra 5 turnovers every game. And they're like, what if this 2-way guy who's 5'8"?
Yeah.
His Jacob Gilliard's career high in field goals in a game a week ago was 1.
I remember like 2 years ago.
We need to start this guy.
I want to say the Warriors had him in camp 2 years ago, and I was really excited. I thought he could really make some noise in Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. He was a really exciting college player, but he's very small.
Very. He
looked small at Summer League. There's a lot of pretty small.
Yeah, he makes Ja Morant and Derrick Rose look gigantic. Mm-hmm. Like, they look like Sean Livingston. Compared, yeah, he's super short. He's actually been drilling 3-pointers. I think Jacob Gilliard might be 12th in the NBA in 3-point percentage, and the Grizzlies are still in last place.
It's wild.
They're horrible.
What's crazy is, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but maybe 2 years ago, the Grizzlies had just so much draft capital. They had all these extra first-round picks, and it just seems like every move they've made, like they are, usually you say, oh, they're contending, they should use those draft picks and like consolidate the players, and it hasn't paid off at all. Like, they've all been rough, basically.
They all disappeared. They became ashes in their mouths. I mean, like, one of them particularly vanished. Because it was a future Lakers pick, and then the Lakers were so bad. It was a top 10 protected Lakers pick. Yeah. And so everyone was like, oh, yeah, look at the Lakers pick that year. Yeah. That one just disappeared. That one literally vanished. It became like a second. It became, I think, Vince Williams Jr. It became like the 45th pick, and it became Dyson Daniels for the Pelicans. Like, that one, that wasn't our fault. Totally evaporated. The other ones, they traded an extra one for Jake LaRavia. So they use their own pick, traded an extra one to trade up and get Jake LaRavia. They have 5 healthy players on their team, and they've assigned LaRavia to the Hustle. Like, they're like, we don't have anybody. Hey, Jake, yeah, you're going to South Haven.
We don't need you. Weren't both of us really hoping that our teams didn't get him?
I was fine with it. He made, based on my very cursory reading little capsules of draft prospects, he made perfect sense for any team in the 20s to draft.
Yeah.
And then the Grizzlies, they traded up to 19 and took him. So, I mean, I don't know if it was a bad pick or anything, but it hasn't worked out yet.
Well, so, I heard from somebody.
Yeah. Was it me?
No, I heard from somebody that, from the Clippers that Jake LaRavia had the worst interview they've ever seen, and they hated him.
Yeah, that was me eavesdropping.
I know. Yeah, yeah. I was trying to let you off the
hook. I don't know. We don't have to hide it, I don't think. Jerry West was saying these things loudly in a public forum.
It was in public. It's not.
Maybe Jerry won't.
Well, I don't know if Jerry West is going to agree to do a sit-down interview with me now.
Yeah.
No, it was just at Summer League, and like, Jerry West was loudly saying that he hated LaRavia's interview, thought he was the cockiest guy he ever spoke to, just like screaming this inside the Cox Pavilion. So.
And then he demanded gum from a lackey, right?
Oh, he did do that. Yeah. Gum! And then he clapped. Oh,
I, man, found, I found his headshot extremely uninspiring. I know that
LaRavia or Jerry West?
LaRavia, but I mean, Jerry West has kind of looked the same for about 30 years, so I don't have any context. Like,
yeah, LaRavia, he's not good yet. We do call him yet. Faith, but we call him Faith LaRavia, though. That's his nickname, a little deeper cut. He speaks at every Faith and Family night. The Grizzlies have. So Faith LaRavia, we still believe in you. Yeah, and so that was an extra pick. And then they used the extra pick on Marcus Smart. They used the Warriors, the famous Warriors 2024 top four protected pick.
Started the Andre Iguodala feud.
Yep, it helped.
Drove him out of the league, the press.
It literally bought the Warriors a title, so it was worth it. And then the Grizzlies got it for taking on Iguodala, which they then flipped into Justice Winslow. That was also a bad deal. We don't have any more future picks, and we're putrid. And I don't know what you do with that, all that information. But don't worry, John Morant, he'll be back in 14 games, excuse me.
14 games, okay.
Maybe 5-20 at that point. Thanks, Adam Silver.
Let's go to the news real quick. Okay.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
Keith, we made you talk about the team you love, and now we're going to make you talk about a guy you hate. Draymond Green, suspended for 5 games for trying to murder Rudy Gobert on the court. Is that what happened, essentially, right?
And then he got murdered in the post-game press conference. Yeah. It was like a double blow because he wasn't going to be talking to the media after that, and I think Rudy Gobert knew it, and really, like, you know, Rudy Gobert's shooting percentage is usually really high. His shots fired percentage was also extremely high in the postgame conference. If you didn't see it, there was a very strange fight. It was, between Klay Thompson and Jaden McDaniels, where they were essentially just trying to whip each other around by their jerseys. Klay's jersey tore. I don't know if the quality of the jerseys in the NBA.
Describe what it looked like as a game the Real World Road Rules Challenge would have had. Where it's like these two steroid men have to grab a ball or something.
and it's like, you really got to get physical on this one if you're going to be on the majority. And you're like really trying to send CT home.
Yeah.
So that happens, and Rudy Gobert comes in and tries to separate them. He does have an arm
on Klay Thompson,
on Klay Thompson's neck. But when you see, you can freeze frame it and look like that. I do believe that when Draymond Green jumped in, he was defending Klay Thompson. But that doesn't explain the following 9 seconds of chokehold where he's also walking backwards 50 feet.
Yeah.
With Rudy Gobert in a chokehold.
Mm-hmm. It looked almost as if he was he had a gun to Rudy's head and he was trying to back his way out of the arena. It
was shocking. Like, it was a shocking play. Yeah. I mean, it was a funny play. I mean, it was 0-0 in the basketball game.
Yep.
And then, it seemed like a bit of a viral video street fight to start, where it's just people ripping each other's clothes. It was Klay, Jaden McDaniels going at it. But yeah, the Draymond reaction, I thought was just, it was bizarre. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I mean, the league said it, and I don't take the league press releases at face value. I'm always like, why did you choose that word? That's a bit ridiculous. Right. But like they called it a dangerous play. It seemed like a dangerous play. There's no angle where it looks like Draymond is just kind of trying to pacify him. It's like his arm muscles are bulging. You can see the veins in his body. He's like tense. He's really like grabbing Gobert badly around the neck and pulling him. Mm-hmm. It was like I was wondering like what would the punishment have been if it hadn't been Gobert? Like if Draymond does that to like an assistant coach who's trying to break up a fight, I mean, wouldn't it be like 30 or 40 games?
I see.
The thing is that Gobert wasn't actually hurt.
Yeah. So I honestly surprised Gobert hasn't shown up with a neck brace with like the Bill Murray wild things. I'm surprised. Because it's good Gobert wasn't hurt. And maybe it was a bit of like pro wrestling where like Gobert was walking backwards with him and it didn't look as bad. But like it was, I don't know, it was strange. It was surreal. And like you said, the 9 seconds, it lasted forever.
Yeah.
He just kept, like, it wasn't slow motion that it was lasting forever. He just kept pulling him back and kept
walking him backwards. And
it was a weird, like, if Draymond had done that to like Austin Reeves, like, is it still 5 games? I feel like he got off light, sort of, because it's Gobert who's bigger than Draymond. I feel like the fact that he was bigger and goofy, the fact that people laugh at Gobert constantly.
The height disparity also just made it look like,
if Draymond gets a Jordan Poole,
height is like,
they just peek out under the rug.
If there was a ring legal ceremony, no, he'd be celebrated. I mean, it's definitely like 5 games is about as much as anyone's gotten for a fight. Like Brandon Ingram got 4 games for a fight that he started and then threw like 3 punches in. Mm-hmm. And but so also Draymond, I think, got a this game.
Is, what, this what? Is repeat. This is repeat of fingers. Yeah. Stuff.
So that's why he got 5 and not 3. I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think he got 5 actually because it was Gobert. Because the two of them have a history of stuff, and it feels premeditated. I think if it's Anthony Edwards, it would have been 3.
I think Draymond's getting 5. Like you can't. I mean, he got kicked out of a game for taking a cheap shot at somebody 3 days earlier.
Yeah,
like, and he got kicked out of a play. Like he's been ejected from playoff games the last 2 seasons as well.
When you roll together, what last season? What is that like? He's been ejected how many of the last like 12 games or 15 games? I don't know whatever it is. Go back to the Kings game. But also the premeditated aspect of it is like everyone's now diving into this and that Gobert talked about saying like Draymond premeditates getting kicked out of games where Steph doesn't play.
That is true. That's true.
And
Sean
I
talk about that a lot.
I don't know about the NBA's new PPP mandates or player participation policies or whatever. Like if Draymond's purposely getting thrown out, that's another notch in the ledger, which seems like he got to come down hard.
Well, and he did it. He dishonored the in-season tournament. That's the other thing. It's like
he made a mockery of our in-season tournament.
A scoreless game with leadership of Group C, West Group C on the line. And the thing is, I just think a lot of NBA punishments are based on embarrassing the league. And this was wildly embarrassing to the league. It's in the in-season tournament. He made a big deal about how unfair his ejection was. He embarrassed himself in front of Anthony Edwards. And, I really, really don't think it helps Draymond's case that when he gets ejected, he runs circles around the court, like clapping and egging on the crowd. And it's like
he's done that for years.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten like especially worse.
It's gotten a lot worse.
Memphis in the playoffs, I think was the time he
whooped that trick one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, when he got kicked out of the game and he was like a wrestler. I mean, whoop that trick. They were just getting beat. But
but that was the same one. Was he was doing whoop that trick as
that was the last day I was happy.
Yeah.
Because they beat the Warriors by 45 in the playoffs or something. Yeah, that was great.
It was, I think, 3 a.m. in Qatar when we woke up to watch that game on a French language ESPN feed. And at the beginning of the fourth quarter, we went back to bed. We decided to rest up.
So Draymond has a history of one, like being the antagonistic bad guy wrestler, the heel, when he gets ejected. And that seems like, I'm surprised that doesn't weigh in too. Maybe it does somehow. I still feel like maybe five is the most games they felt like they could get away with without people like getting really upset or something, like Warriors fans and like front office. But like, I still like the pattern of behavior and this specific instance where it was like, again, I haven't seen, I mean, like what if Isaiah Stewart had actually punched LeBron that time he was chasing LeBron or whatever, like maybe that would have been bad, but like this was, it was a wild play. And with Draymond's behavior, and I feel like all, I don't know if this is the case, like the Warriors, are they getting surlier as a team? Yes. Like it's not, it's just not going great. And also this brings me to the most important point, which I believe is the Warriors commentary team.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Bob Fitzgerald. Yeah.
Yeah. The entire disconnect from reality and like their conversation. Like, first of all, they were like, cool, Clay is not really one to get into it with other players. It's like people hate Clay now. Like maybe that's just specifically from my Grizzlies perspective, but like Clay's a jerk to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And like, I think he's getting surly as he sees his powers dissipate somewhat. He can't play defense anymore and he's not as good. And so like, I thought that was funny when they're like, well, Clay, it's not like Clay to have someone mad at him. And then on the breakup fight, they were like, Bob Fitzgerald's like, oh, Gobert comes in and grabs Clay from around the neck, which is not what happened. Like we're watching the video and Bob Fitzgerald is doing a narration of things that aren't occurring.
Yeah.
And it's like, he just naturally did that.
He's the best.
Yeah, like yeah. He didn't plan doing that.
Sean and I have hated him for longer than the Warriors have been good. This is what he does.
Yeah. I mean, I hated him when he was like a radio show host. Yeah. Yeah.
It's honestly become, I kind of like it now.
Yeah, because you're just watching this like odd performance art piece where he's been working the job for so long that he has his own lingo. Much of it makes no sense at all, but he talks about it like, and actually I'll say this, he's not really that bad when he's doing Olympic basketball. It's like being announcing the Warriors just has broken his brain, but he does, I guess he still has it in him when he is outside of the arena. I don't know the explanation for it, but he's like, he acts like an incredible underdog when rooting for an incredible overdog.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, just a sidebar. Yeah. This is the longest suspension Adam Silver has given out.
You mean for something that happened in a game? Is that
yeah. For an on-court incident, not like
John Morant,
not liking rap music
or like OJ. Yeah,
John Morant's been suspended 33 games for living his life.
That is
for legally living his life.
This is the most for Killian Hayes. Got 3 for hitting Mo Wagner in the back of the head and Brandon Ingram.
Oh, that was a dirty play. Yeah, that was a wild one.
So I think he specifically wanted to make it the longest one.
I feel like it could have been longer, but going back to the Bob Fitzgerald thing, once Draymond actually starts doing the choke and drag, he's like, oh, well, Draymond's coming in like a big brother trying to break it up. Oh. And then like, they keep showing this replay. And I'm at this point, like, what in the world? Like I was sort of kind of like, cause there's like the first camera angle from the sideline. You're like, whoa, that looks bad.
Yeah.
And then they show the other camera angle and you're like, I think that's a crime.
Well, like, and then there's
if you do that in a bar, that's aggravated assault. Like, and then like they showed it and I was like, this is staggering. And while I'm watching Rudy Gobert get dragged by the neck, as it looks like Draymond's trying to choke him out, Bob Fitzgerald's like, oh, Draymond's trying to get everybody to chill out. He's trying to make him chill out and go to sleep. And then they were talking. They were like, I mean, I guess this could be a Draymond ejection, but like, it's probably just going to be a lot of double texts. And I get all of this. Like, I mean, one, I'm trying to like post this stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I do. And I'm like catching up to live and I still hear him talking. They're still showing it over and over and over. They've shown all these horrible overhead angles and sideline cameras. And you're like, yeah, he's going to give it. I'm like, he's going to get suspended for several games.
100. It looks like.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe. Yeah, they might kick him out, but I don't know. I feel like he's just trying to calm things down.
It's crazy because I feel like Kalena Azubuike had potential as an announcer if he was not linked with Bob Fitzgerald.
No, he drank the full Kool-Aid. Well, Azubuike's all in. Like, oh, yeah, that's...
He's operating in this weird reality now where no matter what he objectively thinks, the man who talks to him for 3 hours at Warriors games, like, at a certain point, you're just brainwashed. Like, like this guy keeps telling me what's happening, and I feel like I know, but he's kind of my boss.
Well, it's like he's telling me what's happening, which is like the Orwellian aspect of it. Uh-huh. Like, he's telling me a thing that's not occurring on the screen right now. Uh-huh. And you could tell he hadn't taken a Bob hadn't taken a temperature of like social media. Because like this starts taking off and everyone's like jumping on it like, oh my goodness, Draymond's going to get suspended. And all, and then like near the end of the game, they're doing their little NBC Warriors game recap, and they're showing the clip, and he's like, and there's where Gobert escalates, and then Draymond's peacemaker. And I'm like, this needs to become an acceptable meme format where just like Bob Fitzgerald narrates things that aren't what's actually occurring. Like, he's narrating Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
he's like, where are they? The younglings are escalating the situation. Here comes Anakin to clean things up. I feel like there's a lot of potential here for Bob just to tell me what you see, and it doesn't have to match up at all with what is actually happening.
The gaslighting.
And bird flying well, huh? Yeah. Looking good. Gas just minding its own business inside that Zeppelin, and
that's right. Here comes combustion to clean things up.
So Rudy Gobert in the press conference, I think, like, it's a double victory because he gets to have Draymond's obviously in the wrong. He gets suspended, but he also makes some pretty good points. Like, first of all, he critiques Draymond's choking technique. And just keeps talking about how, like, well, I could totally breathe. He doesn't really know how to choke anyone out. And you realize, like, when you think about Rudy Gobert, he's really into, like, Joe Rogan and that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, of course this guy watches MMA all the time. Like,
yeah,
obviously. And so, first of all, he's like, yeah, that was pretty unacceptable. But also, you know, I work out a lot. I can't really be choked out. I've sparred with Rogan before in Austin. I've been to the theater. Then he intentionally calls Draymond a clown like five different times. Mm-hmm. And it's 100% a callback to Draymond calling Dylan Brooks a clown multiple times. So like, he's done his homework and he's ready to do this. And it's tough because Draymond's whole thing is that he's supposed to be so good at, you know, talking. Mm-hmm. And when push comes to shove, he's just literally pushing and shoving. Like, he's not doing a good job, and like, played like garbage when they faced the Grizzlies last year, talked trash to Anthony Edwards and gave up like 10 points in a row. But the worst thing was saying that he wanted to get ejected because Steph Curry wasn't playing.
Because it's true.
Yeah, because he's been ejected from like less than 2% of his non-Curry games and almost 10% of the games where Curry's, it's like 7 out of 74. So, well, Joey, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like Gobert bringing light to this and then everyone finding it out, like it's now entered the mainstream consciousness. This is going to hurt Draymond down the line.
Yeah. Because if
Draymond gets ejected from another game where Curry's not playing, he's going to get suspended multiple extra games for it.
Well, and
it could be a run of the, it could get a run of the mill two tech, just like yelling. And I think they're going to fine him as much as they can. Like, tell me that's not conduct detrimental to the league. Adam Silver, the season is 82 games long. Doesn't want people to rest. And you're talking about this guy getting himself ejected on purpose, playing for one of the NBA's marquee franchises.
Well, they find the franchise for that, Keith.
Or maybe they would. Yeah, they should.
Joe, I mean, he won't mind paying that fine. I think he will. The funniest thing about, by the way, one of the funniest tweets about the Draymond suspension here is, did you guys see the Bobby Marks tweet where he went out of his way? He was like, Draymond's losing this much money, but it saves the Warriors this much money in tax.
Yeah. So actually, this suspension, Joe Lacob is on board with that. So he got a reverse fine actually for this. So you're right. You're right. It's multiple slaps in the face to Adam Silver.
Well, that was, I feel like I've talked about this before about how like which suspensions can shave your luxury tax bill, and you know, like this is a real thing. I mean, the Grizzlies are saving $8 million by Ja Morant being suspended. Just like their operating costs are $8 million less.
Well, and they saved like $40 million by him not making all NBA, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that was a huge dunked on victory for us. having his extension be like 5% lower or whatever. Yeah. No, it's a mess. Also, like you talk about Draymond losing his like trash talk fastball. I think it's going all around the Warriors. That was like Clay admitting in the offseason that his like four rings thing. He keeps getting torched and he keeps saying like four rings. Yeah. And it's like, dude, you can't, that's bad trash talk. Yeah. Like you can't.
His trash talk has always been terrible, but yes. Yeah. But yeah, Draymond, like, I mean, the other thing I think with the Curry suspension thing is Draymond is famously, Keith, do you know what allegedly Jordan Poole said to Draymond before he got punched?
I don't. Was it something about his money? Right. About
he said, you're an expensive backpack to 30.
Oh,
which was like a double insult because he's you're only getting paid because of Steph. But also when you shoot a three, it looks like you're wearing a backpack.
Yeah.
And so I think
I wish I hadn't made fun of Jordan Poole so much in the last 2 weeks, because, man, that's a great line.
It was really good. And Draymond punched him in the face. He didn't have anything to say. It's like, you're right. It's the trash talk stuff. I always wonder when TNT is like reviewing these things, they're like, God, how long was that contract we signed with this guy? Like, since he signed that deal, how many times has he been ejected just since then?
I actually don't think TNT cares because, again, it's part of the like Draymond Charles Barkley replacement mystique where like Charles Barkley was throwing men through plate glass windows. So it's like, I think TNT doesn't care. They do care when his response to this is going to be as shitty as
his response to the Jordan Poole punch.
Yes, exactly.
What was that response, by the way? Well,
thank you for asking.
If you want me to be honest with you, I still don't know how much the world may think it blew up.
Sparked by the leak of the video, the incident did blow up. It went viral.
I mean, if there's one thing Draymond is good at doing, it's going viral.
He is good at going viral. Yeah. Joey, talk about just you're very good at sensing when Draymond Green is going to get ejected from a game. Yeah. Sometimes he comes very close and should have been ejected, but your radar is very good. What do you see as the signs of that happening imminently?
I would say generally the game not going well for the Warriors at like in a first quarter, say they give up like a 10-2 run. Mm-hmm. Then like the Draymond getting ejected meter goes to like a yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Then a bad call happens, we're at orange. Then Draymond gets a foul that Steve Kerr refuses to review, even though he's twirling his finger. Then we're at DEFCON 1. He's going to get ejected.
And getting you what activates the meter is when the Warriors announce that Steph Curry is out for the game.
Yeah.
That's when the watch, they turn the keys at the facility.
I would also say, if they're playing in Memphis, the likelihood of him getting ejected is all, it starts at yellow, because for whatever reason, even before that playoff series, the Warriors always get ejected in Memphis for whatever reason.
Somehow he's fine in Oklahoma City,
though. Yeah.
I don't know why. I think maybe because the fans are also yelling so much there that it's a little different. But OK, I have one last question about this. Joey, will Steve Kerr try to get Draymond to take Rudy Gobert out to dinner to apologize?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's not going to. That's what he tried to do for Jordan Poole, by the way, Keith. Yeah, yeah. And Draymond didn't do
it
all year.
Kept refusing to do it.
Good to know. Well, Steve Kerr's an enabler. I mean, where's Steve Kerr? Steve Kerr's role. Steve Kerr's also, his post-game comments, embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like, no. He also, like, at some point, you don't have to, I guess, I don't know where the line is of, like, always just dogmatically stand up for my guys. But he was just like all been like, oh, well, Gobert was inside. I don't remember the exact words he said.
The tweet about it made it sound worse. He just said he didn't see it. And some guys on the bench said Gobert grabbed it. He was like, yeah. He was doing the, like, I haven't seen it. I need to review the footage. Like, so there were some tweets about it.
He's pretty outspoken when other players do things, I've noticed.
I would say he didn't actually defend Draymond in that full comment. He was just like, I don't really know what happened, but I don't think
Klay
Thompson...
He said,
I don't
want to talk about this. Oh, yeah, no, I don't think Klay...
He also said Klay and Jaden McDaniels both shouldn't have been ejected. He was like, it should have been double tease.
Which is probably correct, actually, but and I can see how that happens a minute and a half in. Now, he just... not that he isn't an enabler, but in this case, he was just like... It was the answer of a man who knew he couldn't say anything. Yeah. And he's like, I didn't really see what happened. Some guys on the back of the bench said this. And anyway, I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to, you're supposed to like go down there and be like, yeah, five games. That's what I think. Like
the funniest quote to me that didn't go viral was Chris Paul's quote after the game. Asked him about it, he was like, well, the guy said that was Steph out that they were going to grab Klay and he had to push back, but I think he went a little too far.
Well, I mean, if he'd come in and held that chokehold for 2 seconds, we're probably not even talking about it. But, you know, the walking backwards, grimacing and looking homicidal
about it.
pulls him back and lets go. I don't even think that's a thing. I mean, but he was never going to let go. That's the thing. Like, that's not a real hypothetical.
I'm with you, Sean. I think if we're like, have we timed the actual video? Like if it was 10 seconds, I feel like if he lets go after 2, you're probably right. It might be 1 game or no games.
Everybody says 9. And I wonder, anyway. But that's clearly not what happened and probably not what was ever going to happen. So,
all right, we got some more news we got to talk about here real quick. Kelly Oubre, guys.
Yes.
This poor guy. So here's what's happened to him. He was out riding in his bike in a city he's lived in for 4 weeks.
It looked like he was riding like a BMX bike as well.
Yeah. A cool hipster BMX bike. Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
He got doored, which happens to people on their bikes.
Yeah.
I imagine shock, rode his bike home thinking he was better because he's 27. Gets home, realizes he's really hurt, calls the cops, can't remember where he got doored. And then goes to the hospital. Then the cops leak that he didn't get hit by a car.
The famously colorblind Philadelphia police, who definitely do not have a history of, say, bombing entire neighborhoods. Firebombing black neighborhoods. Yes.
He has to leak his own Ring doorbell footage to TMZ.
Yeah, to right? show him coming that. Home and
saying, I got hit by a car to his wife.
I will say, I think 90% he leaked it. 10% Ring cameras are basically a division of the police department. So I can definitely see whatever security guy or police officer can access that footage, because the cops can access all your Ring camera footage, may have just decided to make $10,000 and sold it to TMZ. I'm sure Joe Lacob is investigating who leaked that footage, though.
It was the same guy who leaked the Jordan Poole footage, leaked Kelly Oubre's Ring camera footage. First things I want to say is there's no way you hit a person as handsome as Kelly Oubre and don't notice. That driver did it on purpose, or definitely knows and drove away.
what if even if we accept this version of events that Oubre's on a bike, what if you're the car driving past the biker, the cyclist, and all of a sudden the cyclist just looks over his or her shoulder to
and
see the car,
see that beautiful face,
and you see those eyes, and those just gorgeous eyes. Uh-huh. They're just on, and all of a sudden I might freeze. Yeah, all of a sudden you're like, it's like, and then the car swerves away, and you're like, oh no, and you kind of like, swerved over. So I mean, I'm saying maybe the driver just got distracted by the eyes.
Yeah, it's
he is beautiful.
It could happen.
I also think it's not totally out of the realm of possibility that James Harden hired those guys who beat up Moses Malone Jr. in Houston to take out the guy who was replacing him in Philly.
What are the odds that we're feeling? Because again, we don't know yet. Like, I feel like the Ring camera brought into the that. Oh, it was in fact a biker or something. You know, maybe it wasn't just pedestrian.
Definitely got hit by a car.
No, I'm saying, are the odds? What are the odds he was like doing bike tricks for a YouTube channel where he was just in the bike park, or he's doing, what do you call it? What's parkour on your bike? Is it just called bike stuff?
I think it's just called BMX freestyle.
BMX. What if he was BMX freestyling on like the Philadelphia Library steps?
I go to Rocky thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he got hit by a car, guys.
He probably got hit by a car. I also
freestyling while that happened.
Yeah.
I also don't want to, I don't want this to come across wrong, but do we have any form of like a sobriety level?
Like, I don't think that matters. Like,
it doesn't matter. He's obviously should not be hit by a car. He obviously should not get in trouble for getting hit by a car, but I'm curious, was he at the bike park, maybe enjoying himself and falls off of a thing? I'm saying if my life responsibilities were to play in basketball games every few days and to show up to practices at 11 a.m. some days, there'd be a lot of 7 p.m.s where I wouldn't be at like the top of my faculty.
You'd be doing 50-50 grinds down a rail.
I'd be trying to do some rail slides maybe after, enjoying myself.
Mainly the nature of the injury seems to really fit getting doored more than like,
Sure.
I think it's kind of hard to break your, I don't know.
I don't know.
I would also say it was gross that a group of, let's say, white cop-loving fans all of a sudden started accusing him of being Jussie Smollett. Let's just go there first. Secondly, I wouldn't be surprised if the Philadelphia police couldn't find footage at all, ever. Of this, whether he told them where it was or not, because the cameras were disabled by batteries,
or fans
climbing the thing,
or they have no idea how to actually access the video. Pretty sure it's recording, but we're not sure how to get that.
Yeah, they went to some random local businesses, which is just like how you do a profile of John Morant. You just walk around to random stores and ask people, "Hey, did you see anything?"
They asked the guy making $15 an hour at Walgreens. Hey, investigate this? Oh yeah, I didn't see anything. Thanks, man. Appreciate
on TikTok
you.
The whole time, like, I looked for the whole hour. Yeah, definitely.
My only worry with Kelly Oubre riding the bike is I worry that who doored him was that group of men on ATVs following Adonis Creed through his workout street. Yeah.
I just want this to be covered. I'm just looking forward to this being covered on Abbott Elementary. That's what I want to see. I want to see the Abbott Elementary takes both on the Kelly Oubre incident. And also, frankly, I'm looking forward to them covering the James Harden trade.
We should see.
It's going to be a huge plot point, I assume, in the upcoming season.
Well, let's make it happen, guys.
Get well soon, Kelly Oubre. I've really enjoyed the fact that it feels like Philadelphia is finally his home. He's deserved it. He's kind of unfairly maligned as a player, I feel like.
Is he properly maligned?
I think he became a journeyman with factors that weren't his fault.
I'm not saying he should have been passed over in free agency and no one should have offered him more than the minimum. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Grizzlies had a roster spot they used on Derrick Rose, but I mean, also I feel like he kind of had been a chucker. I mean, his stats last year never passed, had a worse shooting field goal percentage than Dylan Brooks on a terrible team.
Those are
chucker numbers after a point. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
he had kind of a rough year with the Warriors, but
it was pretty bad for him.
He'd been passed around. I mean, he'd been on a lot of teams.
At the same time, he did like break his hand.
Yeah,
a month and a half to go in the season, they were
cycling.
Reaching for a steal. Reaching for a steal.
Did he break his hand doing BMX tricks?
I don't know. I mean, supposedly Kevin Durant liked to skateboard when he was.
Have we checked out Oubre's injury history? I'm gonna do more research than the Philadelphia Cops.
Yeah. We gotta see. Check it against a list of like Bam Margera's injuries.
Yeah, I'm gonna check this against some YouTube uploads.
Yeah.
I will say, you know what? A thing I really appreciate about Kelly Oubre is he has a Misfits tattoo. Very funny. Love it. Matches with BMXing, that's for sure.
He's a cool guy.
You brought it up, Keith, with Abbott Elementary. We haven't talked about this at all on this show yet. The James Harden trade?
We talked about that, didn't we?
We did. You're right. But we haven't brought up since he's been with the Clippers.
We have not, no.
Keith, are you shocked by how bad the Clippers have been since they traded for James Harden?
Yeah, the Grizzlies beat him.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, there was... What I love about it is I think they've lost... They're 0-6 with him, is that right?
I think that's correct.
I think it's five. It might only be five.
So I'll give him... I think they've lost six in a row, but only... Five of them were, anyway, it doesn't matter. They have not won since he arrived. And there was apparently a hilarious moment when, so everybody's been very relaxed about it. Yeah, they're 0-5 with him. Mm-hmm. They've been very relaxed. Kawhi's not panicking. Paul George isn't panicking. And Russell Westbrook outright said, "We're happy about what's happened." And then Tim McMahon from ESPN said, "You're happy you lost five in a row." And then Russell Westbrook stopped talking to anybody. So they've been on the road mostly. They've only had one home game. That was against the Memphis Grizzlies, the 2-9 Memphis Grizzlies, mm-hmm. and they lost. Specifically, okay, so there's two things from what I can tell. I've not watched the Clippers that much, so take this with a grain of salt. I know that the numbers when Westbrook and Harden are on the floor together are just kind of wretched.
Mm-hmm.
Because, none of these guys are like pick and roll players, really. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what James Harden did. That was good last year, was just pick and rolling with Joel Embiid.
Every year.
Kawhi Leonard basically never shoots near the basket anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to do that a lot. And now he's kind of not ever, he's shooting a lot between 5 and 10 feet, and he's mm-hmm. not really shooting between 0 and 5 feet anymore. So I feel like generally, they've got three guys who are maybe significantly past their prime now. And then they have Paul George.
Yeah. And Paul George is he the oldest? I mean, Paul George is old.
33. So
yeah, Paul George has been amazing. And then I thought it was super concerning. The games I watched of the Clippers, I've seen like maybe three of the games in the whole Christmas game. Since they got James Harden, like I was super concerned with how Paul George was playing once they got James Harden.
Yeah.
Cause like the first 2 weeks of the season, he was like an MVP caliber performer, and then all of a sudden he's like taking half the number of shots and also making none of them, and it's like, oh, did this just kill Paul George? But now Paul George has bounced back. But it's just, for me, it's just that they don't have designated play finishers, or they don't have guys that like that create for others, or maybe they only have play like everyone everyone just wants the ball to go score, and yeah. James Harden will set guys up and pass to them, but like Kawhi's not going to screen and roll and finish. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Paul George just, he'll catch and shoot, but like, he's not screening and rolling and finishing. Well, and Westbrook is just Westbrook. And so like, none of it really, it doesn't make a ton of sense. And like, and then like Terrence Mann, who they wouldn't trade. Mm-hmm. Terrence Mann has physically turned into Montrezl Harrell. I don't know how he got so big. He's like, He doesn't. He looks like a power forward now. It used to be like, oh, they're playing man at power forward. Now it's like, I don't think he can play anything else. Yeah. Like he doesn't look quick or fast anymore. And it's like, yeah, their whole team is just weird. And then you have like Zubac, who's like fine. But mm-hmm. then when you start like ranking all the centers in the league, you're like, oh no, he's pretty far down the list.
Yeah, he's not that good.
And really? He doesn't shoot. And it's like, if he doesn't shoot and then Westbrook doesn't space and then Kawhi, like, I don't know. It's all, yeah. Kawhi looks like he has Golden State Warriors aging disease. And yeah. like, he's finally over the hill and they're not going to be this bad. Can but I, like,
yeah,
they signed Daniel Tice.
Oh my God.
World champion, a literal world champion.
Oh, they've, they really should just be having Paul George run the offense. But he's the most mature guy who's like, I'm gonna take a step back and help everybody out. And it's like, no, they're almost better off with Harden and Westbrook replaced by like Norman Powell and Terrence Mann and like complimentary players, which even Paul George and Kawhi aren't really that complimentary. So I don't know. Also, Keith, our friend Kevin Farragut mentioned that this just might be the year where like 20 old guys are washed at once.
It could be.
Like, because Westbrook, Harden don't look good. Kawhi doesn't look like Kawhi.
Yeah, he looks super old now.
Not that good. I'm trying to think. He had a whole list, but like Clay, Draymond,
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. Well, yeah, Chris Paul can't shoot anymore. Like
I mean, Embiid had like a huge game like a week ago, but Embiid looks super old, right? maybe he's just out of shape.
I mean, they're kicking ass, but yeah, I think he didn't he have some kind of surgery over the summer? Like
who doesn't?
Felt like he didn't play basketball this summer. Someone else.
None of the Suns. The Suns have yet to play a game altogether.
Oh, Lillard looks terrible. Yeah, Beal and Durant are both.
Well, Lillard had to get Giannis out of the way. Yeah. Giannis finally didn't play, and Lillard's like, "Oh, I know what to do now. Am I on a team surrounded by garbage? I'm used to this."
Oh.
Yeah.
There's only one tall guy on the court. I know what to do. Middleton doesn't look like he's ever going to be back. I don't know.
Zion Williamson got really old over the summer.
Yes, yeah. Zion Williamson, he's past his prime now. Age 21 prime, that's over. I don't think CJ's been tremendous this season.
CJ had a small lung collapse.
Yeah.
CJ, that's a fair. He had a good. Yeah. He had a couple.
Again, the adjective "small" being in that Shams tweet. I don't know if that was from his source or. Was the collapse small or was the lung small?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it was. He was on the Portland Trailblazers, so it was probably the lung. All right, and then I guess one last thing we should talk about. We can talk about Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma later.
Anytime. This is
going to
keep continuing. Yeah. I just want to say that you and I did discuss whether Jordan Poole could win the scoring title. That's not going to happen this year. Can we say that now after 10 games?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cam Thomas is who we thought Jordan Poole was going to be.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Yeah. I don't know what happened to Jordan Poole. It's like injury. Yeah. But it's almost like a stage fright, a failure to perform.
Yeah.
Like you got everything you wanted. You're in a clown show situation. You get to do whatever you want. Just go score points, brother. And it got there and it's like the open mic and he's like, he's freezing.
He doesn't even want to score points. I think he just wants to dribble a lot.
He's not shooting as much as he did on the Warriors, not passing. So it's like, it's not clear what's happening. I guess he's just dribbling. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the professor. Man,
offensive fouls.
What I really want to talk about,
says they would be skipped to my lose.
what I really want to talk about though is LeBron James is opening a LeBron James museum.
Oh boy.
So admission's going to be $23.
Yeah.
Is it like a presidential library of all the first pages that LeBron's read?
Yeah. I mean, this museum looks like it sucks, dude.
Is there a Blaze pizza attached?
It includes his white draft suit, his high school TV set, art from fans, and the rim from his high school court.
I mean, it also, I think, has the backboard. And there's like a replica of his high school apartment.
Whoa.
I don't understand who this is for. It has like a lot of
LeBron. Is there like an animatronic shoes. LeBron in his high school apartment? Like something out of like Epcot?
Yeah, like Hall of Presidents. See, that would be good. Yeah. Welcome to the LeBron James experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I wish was there, and I can't believe it's not, is that terrible Gap shirt he was wearing at the decision.
Oh yeah, the decision shirt. Yeah.
Why is that there?
It's fundamentally just like you should not make
the Gap. Anyway, keep going.
Do we even know? Did the Gap pay for that?
Jim Gray negotiated the deal, but didn't actually tell LeBron there was a payment involved.
Just put this on.
Yeah. So they. It's just not interesting if you make a museum about yourself, basically. But at least presidential libraries have like archives and things. And this is like, it even seems like LeBron is not putting his own best memorabilia into this.
Yes, that's the weirdest part.
It's like shoes and his draft suit. Like, what part of this is worth $23? It just, and there's like one display is like a stack of TVs, but they're old and it just looks like a junkyard art project. It's like what you would see in the kind of like downtown Vegas art portion. Yeah, but if you only had like two hours to do it.
Where is it? Is it in Akron or is it in Vegas?
It's in Akron.
It's
in Akron, and all the stuff goes to the LeBron James
School
Family Foundation. Yeah, it's the foundation that funds the Promise School. So, I mean, that's fine, but like,
just let me know it's a charity before I go in.
Yeah, it's opening.
Before
it's
I buy your ticket, be like, oh, this is a charity. Okay.
I think it's opening Saturday, and LeBron, the Lakers are playing in Cleveland that day. So it's opening on the 18th. But is there any chance that they have to move this museum to Miami and lower the admission price to $6? Because they've already retired that admission price for Michael Jordan, who never had a museum in Miami.
I mean, at the very least, you'd hope it's you know, whatever it is plus tax equals 23 equally. Yeah. Like, that'd be good.
Make it.
I mean, there's Space Jam 2 memorabilia. You surely think it's some of that.
I don't think he's proud of that. So I think I think that the decision and Space Jam 2 and like Million Dollar Mile are not going to be represented here.
What's that one movie he made? Trainwreck?
Well, now that Amy Schumer,
I never
saw it.
What if they put the hair plugs from Trainwreck in there? Would you pay $23 just to see
like
the
plugs?
That's
what I want to see. Behind the scenes of the LeBron's commercial. That's what I want to see. Like Jim Gray apologizing. Or not apologizing, whatever.
I want to see a hologram of Jim Gray in there asking about the decision, his LeBron's decision.
Walk us through this. And then they can have a hologram of him at the Malice in the Palace, too. To round out the museum a little bit. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot there.
So my first question for you guys, real quick, is who is this museum for?
LeBron's family, Nick Wright, our friend CJ Toledano.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer. It's more our friend CJ Toledano, I think.
It's like, oh, there's a lot of shoes. Oh, some kind of weird TV art project. I'm listening. Yeah.
And then my other question is, what could they put in there that would make you actually want to go to the LeBron James Museum?
I think I would like to see, like, if he could just take a few photos every off season of what he looks like without like Just for Men beard dye
and
like without hair plugs. Like, I kind of want to see, like, what does he really look like? Maybe we just do some of that. It's like an old timey, like little carnival thing.
Mm-hmm.
Freak show sort of situation where you pay a dime and you have to leave your phone. But you get to go inside the booth and see what LeBron actually looks like.
I would like to see in his like wall of TVs, they just have a series of workout videos where LeBron's rapping along to songs that has the actual lyrics that he's messing up displayed on the bottom, like good. Closed captioned. And I would also like that if those TVs also contained the Sean Marion tribute video that they played during the NBA finals.
I think for me, I would prefer, I would like some kind of ride, like a dark ride, where it's like you go through and you see the highlights of his career. So it's like Pat Riley putting the rings on the table, the them filming the Harlem Shake video.
All with animatronics, right?
Yeah, yeah. Him tweeting "you bum" at Trump. And then finally, I want it to be sort of like Graceland. No, I want it to be exactly like Graceland in that 75 years from now, like a long, this is obviously a long time ago, without much of a warning, you go out there and you're just at his grave. Like LeBron James is buried at the museum.
He's buried at the museum.
Because that's what happens at Graceland, and it is shocking.
And his tombstone just says "sheesh."
Yeah,
I'm dead. Sheesh.
Okay, guys, it's time to do what we actually brought Keith on here for. It's going to be quick, but we had Keith on because he loves the NBA in season tournament. He's a positive man with positive vibes, and Sean, our friend, is a hater who hates the vibes, who has negative vibes.
Bad vibes guy.
And he desperately hates the NBA in-season tournament. So what we're going to do right now is have our first ever NBA in-season tournament debate.
I got something. Something that's never been done before. An NBA in-season tournament debate leading all right here at the NBA's most unpredictably released podcast ever. And we're gonna need a team. One, a comedian slash Uncle Dad. Two, the host of a Daily Grizzlies podcast and YouTube channel. And three, the Wikipedia page for Robert's Rules of Order, which will keep the debate civil and organized. The debate will occur Tuesdays and Fridays in November, and then when the calendar flips over to December, debates will occur on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 2 p.m. No one will be able to predict the outcome. And now, here is our first annual NBA in-season tournament in-season debate.
All right, we're here with the NBA in-season tournament debate. Here's how it's going to work. Keith is positive. Sean is negative. I'm going to give you 45 seconds to do an intro of your argument over whether the in-season tournament is good. Keith, you won the coin flip backstage. Mr. Keith Parrish.
I would like to say that the NBA's in-season tournament has added stakes to what can be a rather dull regular season. Personally, I don't need these added stakes as I am a fanatic, but I also, beyond being a fanatic for the NBA, I'm a fanatic for all tournaments. I love a group play. I love anything where it's convoluted, where you draw things out of a hat to make a group. And then those teams, you're going to advance based on point differential or your best record. And then you have the losers go and have to play out these kind of consolation games. I love that it also all counts for the regular season. And then we're going to have these extra single elimination style games throughout November and December. I think it's an easy win, very entertaining product by the NBA.
Sean, your intro, the intro to your argument, please.
I'm not sure why any fan should care about this, just because the NBA has decided to award the winners of the NCAA of the in-season tournament the same amount of money as winning the NBA finals gets. Like, I don't know why a fan cares about that. Also, it's lazy. They made six groups But they separated them by conference. They have divisions as well. Just do the divisions. It's impossible to keep track of who's in what group. The standings aren't easily available. And the courts are nightmarish. They're very difficult to watch on TV. They're also slippery. They don't paint the three-point lines in the right place. So we basically just have this weird carnival basketball arrangement, especially made not special because these teams are constantly playing one half of a baseball series at home, where one game on Sunday is nothing and Tuesday it's the tournament. It's not well thought out, and it's just too obviously a cash grab for me.
Excellent points. Keith, would you like to rebut Sean's opening argument?
I would in fact like to agree with some of Sean's very good points. That are, I do feel like a lot of it was not that well thought out, and they have made some obvious mistakes. I will say, despite those things, like the groups, they named them West Group A, West Group B, West Group C, East Group A, East Group B, East Group C. This is catastrophic. Like, what are you doing? Like, just name them all something different. They could just be 1 through 6. Group A through F is fine. I don't mind them keeping it in conference. I do support them not doing it by division. I do think trying to mix up. I think they also dropped the ball, by the way, on the assignment of the groups. Like I said in my opening, I'm obsessed with all tournaments. I'm obsessed with the NBA. The fact that I didn't know when the group draw was happening, huge failure. Like, how do they not communicate that to me? Adam Silver writes me a letter every preseason thanking me for watching the NBA before opening night. How do they not get the word out? And I do think there's been a lot of messaging failures. I do think, like, naming it the in-season tournament, horrible. But despite all these missteps, like, right now the Jazz and Lakers are tied for the top of West Group A. This makes the next Jazz-Lakers game a meaningless game in previous seasons. Actually, pretty exciting. Like, the Jazz are going to be actually extra bought into that game. And so I do think the messaging kind of failed. I think there was a lot of missteps making it confusing. But as it plays out, I think it's going to be really great.
Sean, rebuttal?
I also want to agree with some of Keith's points as per his argument. It is nice that at least there's something differentiating these Tuesday, Friday games. At least it's making people talk about something, because the tyranny of football is so severe that inside the NBA had to change what night it was on to avoid what are definitely, by acclamation, the worst football games on the entire calendar, destroying them on a streaming service, not even competing with them on cable. So I understand that something had to be done. And I do think that the single elimination part will be more entertaining. I do think it was maybe rushed a little bit. The fact that there's not better names for anything. They don't have anything for the NBA Cup. Like, would they have been disrespecting an NBA legend by naming the tournament after them? Like, they have a Jerry West Clutch Awards. It's just that if you'd said in-season tournament, I guess the implication is it's someone that, it would be like the James Harden in-season tournament, someone who kind of chokes in the playoffs. I just wish the courts weren't so weird, because they don't know how to, like making an NBA court is hard. They're like slippery. They're in the wrong spot. And also, no one like filmed it with a TV camera and watched it on TV. It reminds me of something the NBA does where it reminds me of what they've done with the All-Star games, where they make it very, very convoluted to try to include ideas from kind of a small minority. And then it's impossible to tell like who's on Team LeBron and Team Giannis. And they have specially designed jerseys that no one's going to buy, and the names are really low. So you just can't tell what's happening. I just wish it was it was easier to tell who's playing what division. You can't even find the standings very easily. Anyway, that's my,
I mean, I agree with a lot of stuff you're saying, Sean. We're like, I wish it could be better. And I don't understand how they're not covering it better. And I'm not saying the league should like instruct its broadcast partners what they're supposed to say. Like, that can be a slippery slope, but the broadcast partners are doing a horrible job of presenting the information. Like, the thing I like as a sports fan, some very basic stuff. Like last Friday night, it was, hey, if the Grizzlies, Thunder, and Wizards lose tonight, they're out. Like it's over. Yeah. Like they're done. And to me, that's interesting.
Real quickly.
But they don't
get this information.
No one's
from
presenting
Gene.
That.
Yeah, the only reason we know that is because we follow you on Twitter. No one told us that.
I keep throwing things out. I keep throwing things out where I'm like, so it's like, all right, the NBA national TV was on Tuesday night. It was Wimby against Chet, and it was a horrible game.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the game closely. Maybe they did this on the broadcast. Point differential is going to be a huge thing. There's legitimately a league table that they released. And like, again, I just love this stuff. I don't know. I'm a weirdo where I got into like the Champions League tournament for soccer where I'm like, this tournament setup is cool. Like you got to do all this stuff and you got to advance. And so when they released the tournament and like they released our NBA in-season tournament, the IST table, just called the NBA Cup. Like they didn't name it after a person because they were worried it would fail. They didn't name it the David Stern Cup in case it went away after a year or two. So like, I understand that. Just call it we already had the play-in, which is a terrible name.
Yeah.
The play-in and the in-season tournament. That's again, terrible branding, but like just explain, hey, Wimby's down by 30, but guess what? The Thunder's only hope for advancing after losing their first two games in Group B is to win by a million. And hope there's a three-way tie for 2-2. Or like, because we go to the wild card standings. So like, you hope that ends up being, you know, like, you're going to need the point differential. So like, I agree with you, they failed. I hear Nate Duncan had a great idea. Put the team names of who's in your group on the court. Yes, yeah. The courts are horrible. The Lakers thing physically hurt my eyes. I don't know if it was my 2005 Samsung TV. I like it was a yellow court that physically was painful to look at. Where I'm like, it's not, I got to turn, what am I, is this tint? What, a contra? Like, well, I had to change stuff on my TV. We're like, I can't watch the Grizzlies game because it looks awful. And then people are tweeting like, hey, the court looks great in person. Well, good. But like, my TV looks horrible. And so I think they're going to figure this stuff out. And I think the stakes are already, this is a confusion. And I've seen this confusion among fans and analysts and players. The stakes are, it's just a regular season game. Mm-hmm. You should want to win. I saw somebody covering the Grizzlies be like, man, I want the Grizzlies to lose as many games as possible just so they're eliminated. I'm like, dude, we can't lose any more games. We're horrible. Like these are regular season games. Like what are you talking about? Like we have to win all the games. So like, I think the players are confused. Everyone's confused. My wife is hilariously. She's like, why does the court look terrible? Like a week ago. I'm like, it's an in-season tournament. And she's like, does this mean this game doesn't even count? Because she was kind of like, wait, you're watching a Grizzlies game doesn't even count? I'm like, no. It's an in-season tournament, and it's also a regular season game. And the look she gave me, I thought she might leave me. It was like the most angry she's ever been. It was the most anger I've ever seen on her whole face. Me just telling her, oh, no, it's the in-season tournament. It's also a regular season game. They're the same thing. Mm-hmm. And she was like,
divorced right now.
So that made just like a uninterested casual NBA observer physically angry to hear. So maybe they could have done that a little bit better.
I think the courts alone, just not because of the aesthetic, because I had the same thing with my fiance where I had the Chet Wemby game on because I had to write about it, and she looked at it and she was just like, this is not a real basketball game you're watching. And I said, it is. And then she looked at the score and Oklahoma City was up by a million, and she said, do we have to keep watching this? And I said, I have to keep watching this until these guys are benched. And so it's ruining relationships for one, but I do love the point differential aspect because I was very confused at the end of that wild Warriors-Timberwolves game. The Warriors fell apart at the end. I mean, they didn't really... I mean, whatever. They were down four at the end, six at the end. They were down at the end. And Steve Kerr took a timeout with about a second left. And I didn't understand why... Oh, they were down six. That's right. They were down six. And he took a timeout with like 3 seconds left and ran a play that got Moses Moody a three-pointer. And I thought, that doesn't matter. There's no way they're going to be able to get the ball back or anything. And the reason was they cut their point differential by three. He's thinking ahead.
Okay, so my next question I'd like you both to address is, if the NBA season in-season tournament flames out and this is the only one ever, will it be hilarious or embarrassing that the Minnesota Timberwolves won the only NBA season in-season tournament ever?
No, it's going to be great. It's going to be hilarious. No, it's going to be Patrick Beverly jump up on the table. You just qualified for the playoffs or whatever. No, it's going to be good. And like, I do like that fact. Like, so the Timberwolves, they're 2-0. They're leading their group. And so like, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be fun if they can somehow just get the information out there that like, hey, Hawks, Sixers this Friday night, if you lose, you're basically out. You're eliminated. And so like, you have to, you know, to like, I don't know what they have to do to get this through to the people broadcasting the games, to ESPN, to TNT, to their media rights partners. Like, now that we have these group plays established, and they are confusing and no one knows who's in anybody's group, but like, they just have to get that out. They're like, hey, once you get two losses in your group play, you're basically not going to win your group. Yeah. So like, these are all becoming elimination games. So there's multiple sort of do or die games this Friday night. And that money, I think, does legitimately matter. No, it doesn't matter to us, but like, 500 grand per person, like Damian Lillard commented about it. Like, he's playing, you know, to like win, you know, like two-way guys. That's like doubling their income. That's you know, the assistant coach is going to cut. And I can't even figure out what the cut is. Maybe you guys can help me.
It's a lot.
They get 75% of what the head coach gets. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just say, because the head coach gets 500,000. So why doesn't it just say 375? Is it somehow different than 375? Like, I don't get it.
I wonder if that's massive
money for assistant coaches in the NBA.
I mean, it is crazy how much money they're throwing at it. I just wish it was better, I guess. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it should be like divisions, but it's just so confusing. It's like, it's the hallmark of Adam Silver innovations is that everything has to be like impossible to under the new CBA is impossible to understand. The All-Star Game stuff, like the player draft and the Elam ending. And so he's simplifying this. He understands that you need to make things possible and easy to understand and just like know that it's the East versus the West. And if they could get that together, I would hate it a lot less.
I think if they just wore regular jerseys, like throwback jerseys or something, just like wear your classic throwback jerseys, something easily identifiable. I agree with you so hard, Sean, about the All-Star game. When I tune into the All-Star game, or even if I'm watching whatever the rookie sophomore rising stars thing, if I tune in and can't immediately figure out who's on whose team.
Yeah.
And like the scoreboard's like Team Giannis, Team LeBron, and they're both wearing shades of like black and white, and the scoreboard's black and white. And I'm like, I don't know who's on whose team.
Yeah.
Like, how have you presented a basketball game where the diehard people can't even figure out who's on whose team? Like, somebody scores and I'm like, well, Giannis isn't on the court. Yeah. So I don't know who's on whose team. Like, and like, that's, I think, again, massive failures. Like, there's been some big failures under Adam Silver, the All-Star game, the name of the in-season tournament, the John Morant suspension. And I hope we can fix some of these things going forward, because I just want to watch basketball and have a good time.
All right. Now we go to the audience question portion of the debate, and then we will move on to closing arguments.
Okay. Hi, Ken Bone here. I'm a red-blooded American, and I don't think I should have to deal with my American sport being soccer-fied because the commissioner watched Ted Lasso. Please answer that.
I would say that you're right to be worried about that, because as we learned on America's greatest defender, the greatest American-born defender in the NBA right now, Draymond Green, was ejected from a game because of VAR recently. They went back because he got pushed. They went back and reviewed it and determined, which is a soccer-ass thing to happen. And you know what else is a soccer-ass thing? Teams having 8 different jerseys that they wear all the time that are occasionally unwatchable because they're the same color as the tournament court. The Oklahoma City Thunder are basically playing in camouflage every time they're on their home court because they wear colors that are exactly the same as the ugly stripe running down the middle. Mm-hmm. And that's also a very European design, I think.
I would rebut that caller. saying, first of all, sir, the rest of the world has plenty to teach us, especially about sports. Also, you're only watching the NBA, I assume, because college basketball added the NIL and it infuriates you that those players are getting paid.
Sure does. They get free college. That should be payment enough, an education. Also, I'm very happy Jim Boeheim is the most gets paid more than anyone else who works for my state.
What if the in-season tournament made man-to-man defense illegal? You had to play zone.
I love it. The hustle, the grind.
Yeah.
More white players, please.
What if we eliminated the charge circle so there could be more charges?
Love it.
Move the three-point line back.
All right. Closing arguments. Keith.
I would just say all competition is good competition. Anything that emphasizes the players to play more, that emphasizes the organizations. It's not the players who have embraced tanking over the years. The organizations have. So I'd say anything that further incentivizes playing harder and playing your hardest and also adds a little bit of spice to a November Jazz Lakers game, I'm in. The excitement of single elimination that we see in other sports, that we see in like the FIBA World Cup, adding that into the NBA is nothing but a good thing, even if there are a few hiccups as they figure out the rollout.
Sean, your turn.
Adam Silver's tax and spend NBA. He's raising taxes with the CBA and spending that on the NBA Cup. I think we can do better than this socialist NBA situation. Seriously, though, it could be okay if it wasn't incredibly confusing.
All right. Thank you. That was our first ever in-season NBA in-season tournament debate. I'm just learning that Ken Bone has been canceled for the porn he likes on Reddit. I'm sorry I let him ask a question at this debate. All right, that's our episode. Keith, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you would like to plug?
Thanks for having me. No, I'd like to plug this Friday night, the NBA in-season tournament, the IST. We're going to have the Raptors playing their first in-season tournament game against the Celtics in East Group C. The Celtics, the only undefeated team in East Group C. However, the Raptors can really throw a wrench in the Celtics' plans of grabbing the NBA Cup. And the Bulls can stay alive as the East Group C has had a very strange rollout. The Nets have played 3 games. They're 2-1. The Raptors have played 0 games. It's not confusing at all.
I know I wasn't part of the debate, but that part is really weird and hard to me, where it's like, oh, this team's played 1 and this team is already eliminated.
Yeah.
I would say I'd like to plug Adam Silver for rolling out the NBA in-season tournament on a Friday, then canceling all the games on November for a year where nothing was on the ballot really anywhere.
We had no election in Tennessee that day. Nothing to vote for in Nashville.
I had a school board election. No. And both people running were
That's where the revolution starts, Sean.
Yeah.
Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Well, thank you very much. Just 2 comedy dates. We mentioned It's Your Move Games on November 18th. I'll be in Elk Grove on November 25th for a naked comedy show. I will be at Rooster Tea Feathers from December 6th through the 10th in beautiful Sunnyvale, California. And I will be at the Sacramento Punchline with Shang Wang from January 3rd to the 6th. 5 of those shows are sold out. If you want to come, tickets now.
Go to that show if you're in Sacramento. But first off, Sean, please. Please explain to the listeners what naked comedy is and that you won't be doing comedy naked. Oh, I won't be. It's that just, was weird.
Sorry, that's
for someone
that
doesn't know.
The Sean Keane promise. I will be fully clothed at that show in Elk Grove, California. That's the Sean Keane promise.
Okay, great. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on 8/18/23 I tweeted, "I'm cursed." Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all have more debates. Just healthy debates instead of choking 7'4" Frenchmen.
Twitter fight. Twitter fight. Twitter fight. You put out a screen that says so from my heart. He smells worse than Dwight Howard without the farts. He got knocked down by Joel Embiid, and melted butter came out when he started to bleed. But something bugs me about his prospect. It's weird his team is obsessed with respect. He's mad and slurping down a snail. He's going to Austin, but he probably should be in jail. Wake me up before you go there, because this Jazz team is going nowhere. Wake me up before you go there. I don't want to miss him when he starts to cry. Wake me up before you go there, because he's straining the nation's healthcare. Wake me up before you go there. Yell at the refs tonight. I really hate that guy. Yeah. When he doesn't get calls, he just moans. Makes me hate Jazz like La La Land and Emma Stone. He gives a boner to David Thorpe, because of win shares, PR, and now Justin Evor. The Utah's in first place, but no one's hurt. Wearing passive-aggressive sweatshirts, Rudy's mother is gonna weep. If they play LeBron, they're gonna lose in a sweep. Wake me up before you go bare. He's like a slightly taller Austin Crochet. Wake me up before you go bare. Quit Snyder sweating like he's fucking high. Wake me up before you go bare. This guy's a baby and he needs a notepad. Wake me up before you go bare. Losing his temper tonight. I really hate that guy. Yeah. Come on, Rudy, you've gone too far. Now Mike Conley will never be an all-star. Stick your arms up and guard the paint. You think you're a superstar, but everyone knows you ain't. Wake me up before you go bed, because this Jazz team is going nowhere. Wake me up before you go bed. I don't want to miss it when he starts to cry. Wake me up before you go bed, because he's straining the nation's healthcare. Wake me up before you go bed. Yeah, with the refs tonight. Wake me up before you go bed. He's like a slightly taller Austin Crochet. Wake me up before you go bed. The cider's sweating like it's fucking high. Wake me up before you go bed. This guy's a baby and he needs a notepad. Wake me up before you go bed. Losing his temper tonight. I really hate that guy. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.